Good evening. Our first lesson today is Philemon chapter 1, verses 4 through 7, and it is found on page 1860 of your Pew Bible. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith, so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Here ends the first lesson. Our second lesson is John chapter 15, verses 12 through 17, and that is found on page 1677. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Here ends the second lesson.
Thank you. I'm going to read to you two passages, one on page 1787 of your Pew Bible, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 and 5. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Our second reading is in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25 on page 1497. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. Mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Here ends the lesson. This is God's holy word. Well, Christmas is certainly about relationships, particularly one relationship, the relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came not to bring religion to this world. He already had a lot of religion. Jesus Christ came to bring a relationship to us, so that we would be able to have a personal relationship with our Creator God in the person of Jesus Christ. Here we are at Christmas Eve, and by this time, many who started the season very excited, their attitude perhaps has turned, because of all the commercialization, the busyness, the crowds, it's turned to humbug Christmas. And so many struggle at this point with the added stresses, the pressures, the hurts, the frustration, all the emotions of Christmas time, and Jingle Bells drowns out the cry of the baby in the manger. The message of God's Son is lost to parents many times whose children have grown up and moved on, leaving the parents far behind. And the story of Joseph's support for Mary doesn't make sense a lot of times to men and women whose spouses have gone, whether by divorce or by desertion or by death. Like a biting winter wind, the most wonderful time of the year can be something other than wonderful. Many find themselves in difficult and stressful situations when spending time with relatives or friends at Christmas time. A time that ought to be joyful, a time that ought to be great, sometimes become very, very stressful if we're not careful. I saw Peanuts cartoon some time ago. It's my favorite comic strip. I don't get a lot of theology out of it, but it is a lot of fun. And there's a picture of Lucy and Snoopy. The pane opens up, and there's Lucy, and she's speaking to Snoopy, and she says, "There are times when you really bug me. But I must admit, there are also times when I feel like giving you a hug." And there goes Snoopy in the next pane, and his ears are all up, his head's up, you see his nose up, and his feet are off the ground, and he's all excited, and he says, "That's the way I am. Huggable and buggable." That's the way a lot of people are in our lives, especially at this time of year. But interpersonal relationships or Christmas are good reminders that relationships are more important than accomplishments. We can be great in the business world, but if our relationships at home, if our relationships and our friendships are not what they ought to be, all that can come crashing down. Rick and Judy Armstrong had a hectic holiday schedule that encompassed careers, teenagers, shopping, and all the required doings of the season. And realizing that they'd be short of time, Judy had the stationer print the signature on their Christmas cards instead of signing each one. They just had them printed. Soon they started getting cards from friends signed the Modest Morrisons, the Clever Clarks, and the Successful Smiths. Then she discovered the stationer's subtle mistake. She had mailed out 100 cards neatly imprinted. Instead of Rick, it said, "Happy Holidays from the Rich Armstrongs." And so sometimes things can happen to affect relations. I'm sure they laughed themselves through that. But sometimes during this time of the year, when things do go wrong, it's easy to throw up our hands and say, "What's the use? Just seems to be too much." But the passage that I read to you from Matthew chapter 1 about Joseph, it describes the birth of Jesus as viewed by Joseph, Mary's husband. We've spent some time on this, and I think there's so many lessons in this passage, so many different applications for us as we look at Christmas practically. There were special qualities that were demonstrated by Joseph and Mary that qualified them to be chosen by God to be parents of the Messiah. And we've talked about those in weeks past. But Joseph was a man that valued his relationships with both God and his family. The same qualities we see in the life of Joseph are the qualities that each of us also need as individuals today. Our challenge before us, as we think of one of the challenges of Christmas, is to make relationships our priority. Not our careers and not being someone, being famous and all these other things, but people. Make people our priority. A couple, three things about Joseph very quickly tonight. First of all, Joseph was selfless in his relationships. It says in verse 19 that he was thinking, when he heard that Mary was great with child, when he heard that she was expecting a child, and he knew he was not the father, instead of getting all focused on himself, he began to think of Mary. It wasn't all about himself, but he was thinking, how can I do this in such a way, divorce her privately, so I bring shame and humiliation at a minimum level to her. With all of his character quality of selflessness, he'd be the kind of person that you'd enjoy being around. Joseph was a person that I think attracted people to him. He's the kind of person you'd enjoy knowing as a friend. We read a little bit about Philemon. Paul wrote the book of Philemon, and he spoke of Philemon, talked about how much he loved him and what a great friend he had been. Philemon was highly valued by Paul. He commended him for his trust and for his love and his generosity and his kindness. Philemon was one of those special people that comes along in some of our lives. He was a refreshing person to be around, and Paul told him so. Paul said, you bring refreshment to me. You've refreshed the hearts of the believers. I ask you tonight, as you think about your own life, are you a refreshing person to be around? When you come into a room, does the temperature go up or does it go down? Do the lights go on or do they go off? Selfless people attract others, while constant complainers and whiners and draining persons deplete others emotionally. You see, relationships are valuable. And there is the relationship, the friendship that is most valuable. Jesus Christ came into this world, yes, to save us, but to be our friend. He says in John 15, love each other as I've loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than a man gives his life for his friends. You are my friends, Jesus said, if you do what I command you. I don't call you servants any longer, because a servant doesn't know what his master does. Instead, I've called you friends, that everything that I learned from my Father I've made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. This is my command, to love each other. All that Jesus Christ did, as you look at his life in the Gospels, as you follow him along and all the things that he did, everything he did was for establishing and developing a relationship with us. He doesn't want to be some ethereal being up in the heavens that we just talk about and think about. He came to give each and every one of us a personal relationship with God. So by application, Christmas is a time to think of relationships, both past and present. As you think about past relationships, this is a great time to contact people that we've lost touch with, to thank them for their impact on our lives. It's a great time to reach out to present friends and relationships, to tell them how much we appreciate them. It's a great time to think of relationships, to value relationships, to let others know how much you care, how much of an impact they've had on your life. We get so busy in life, and we go on and do our thing, and we forget about the things that people do in our lives, the impact they have upon us. Dr. B.R. Lakin, the great preacher, said, if you have 10 or 12 friends, real friends, throughout a lifetime, you're very fortunate. See, a friend is someone who stands with you when everyone else runs away. A friend who is someone who's loyal to you. A friend is someone who doesn't talk about you behind your back. Dr. Lakin said that friends are not found in bunches like bananas. He said friends are made and not met. You think in your own life, who are the people that have really been friends to you? Some are acquaintances. Some are people that you know a little, but who are those people that really have invested in you and have allowed you to invest in them? You see, our challenge tonight and in the days ahead is to nurture our relationships, starting with our relationship with him. Do you know him as your personal Savior? If not, the very most important decision any of us will make is to give our hearts and lives to Jesus Christ, because that's why he came. That's what we're celebrating here tonight, that Jesus Christ came. God saw a world who needed a Savior, warped and wrapped in their sin, couldn't get out of it, couldn't pay for it themselves. So God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to become like his creation, to ultimately die on a cross and pay the sin, your sins, my sins. He literally became sin for us, the sinless one who should not have died. He died for those of us who are sinners who should have died and don't have to if we trust him as our Savior. Joseph was selfless in his relationships, but he also demonstrated sacrificial love. You see this in this passage, that he made a choice. We talked about that Sunday. His choice was to love the Lord. And he chose to love the Lord over the convenient choice of a quiet divorce. The easiest thing that he could have done is just to divorce her privately. Get rid of the problem. Get her out of his life. Go on with life. He could have done that. A lot of us make the easy choices in life. A lot of us do that which is convenient. Staying with Mary was the absolute least convenient thing that Joseph could have done. And yet the value of relationships, the value of a relationship, is at the heart of this decision. He was willing to endure the embarrassment, the questions, the accusations of people in their community. His love didn't waver. Even when he had to leave his hometown of Nazareth to go to Bethlehem for the census that the Roman government required. He left his job. Back then they had no insurance, of course. No vacation leave, no sick days, no unemployment compensation. If you look at their life, they lived below the poverty level, because when they gave offerings, they couldn't afford to give a lamb. They gave a couple of doves. He ultimately led his family to become refugees in Egypt to flee the wrath of Herod, who was killing all the little baby boys to ultimately get the future king. He was willing to sacrifice everything for his family. You see, Joseph understood the value of true riches. So many of us do all that we can to build a career, to accumulate money, to accumulate riches in this world, and all those things. That's where we're putting our emphasis. Those are the things that are important to us. And yet here's what God says, Proverbs 15:16. Better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. Chapter 16, verse 8, he says, better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. Proverbs 17:1, better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. God says relationships, the value of your life touching the life of someone else, their life touching you, that's what's important. And our challenge tonight is to understand that we get eternal riches when we invest in the lives of other people by giving ourselves to others. True riches aren't found in the stingy accumulation of wealth, but in the extravagant investment of love. Love's patient. It's kind. It does not envy. It does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it's not self-seeking, not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. And this Christmas, let's make the commitment to value and care for those who God has brought into our lives, our families, our friends, our neighbors. Examine your own life where you're making investments. Are there relationships that you may be neglecting? Christmas is about Jesus, first of all. And then it's about people that he came to save. Becoming a partner with God in blessing people is what he wants us to do. Plan to do something for someone this year who can do nothing in return for you. It's easy to do things for people who can return. It's a lot more difficult, a lot more selfless when we give to those, touch the lives of those who can't do anything in return. Lastly, Joseph was obedient to God's will. He did exactly what the angel told him to do. He married Mary, did not come together physically till Jesus was born. He obeyed God. This evening, we must make our relationship with God our first priority, then allow him to guide us and influence us to have a positive effect upon our family and others. This year, let's put a special value on relationships. Not letting the world get so busy and our priorities out of sync, but let us put first things first. There was a man many years ago by the name of George Mason whose life centered on his business. He didn't have time for people, didn't have time to really build any relationships. He lived alone, and on one particular Christmas, he had refused the very few invitations he got, and he just wanted to be alone as he normally did. And late afternoon, Christmas Eve, as he was working in the office, he went into the office vault and soundlessly on newly oiled hinges, the great door swung shut behind him. Desperately, he pounded on the door, but he realized that nobody would hear him. Everybody had gone, even the cleaning lady. He was there alone. Surely he could make it overnight, he consoled himself. I can make it through the night. But then he remembered that the next day was not a working day. It was Christmas. Feeling around in the darkness, he was relieved to locate the safety air home at the bottom of the wall where a trickle of air was coming in. Christmas Eve passed, and then Christmas Day passed. He was alone, as he'd planned, but he was uncomfortable. He was hungry. He was thirsty, in darkness so dense and so thick that he could almost feel it brushing his face. He tried to sleep, anything to pass the time. And he thought of friends and family and how they must be enjoying Christmas. And he wondered if they missed him. The day after Christmas, someone arrived early and unlocked the vault. It did not notice George Mason inside the vault, and he staggered out and over to the water cooler. And then he took a taxi to his lonely apartment to freshen up and then returned to the office, and no one suspected a thing. But physically, George Mason had missed Christmas. But friends and family hadn't given him a thought. So in a way, he hadn't missed anything, and neither had they. But after that lonely experience, he wrote on a little card, to love people, to be indispensable somewhere. That is the purpose of life. That is the secret of happiness, to be indispensable. He then taped it to a wall high up in the vault to always remind himself of what he had missed. This Christmas and New Year, let's be sure, first of all, to not miss Jesus. Let him be first and foremost in our lives. And then let us value relationships, being selfless, sacrificial, and obedient to God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this wonderful day. It's time where we can honor you and think back of what you did when you sent Jesus into this world. Help us value a relationship with you by honoring you and respecting and reverencing you with our lives. And then let that flow through us to touch the lives of other people. We ask it in Jesus' name.